Good morning, and we can turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, the topic that was assigned to me was covering. And so we want to begin here in Ezekiel chapter 28. And I want to give you that verse, first of all, from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, which says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Yes, buy the truth and sell it not. And so we have the truth here in God's Word. Now, as you look in Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're not going to have time to read all of this, but in the first part of Ezekiel, there in this chapter, we have the pride and the wisdom and the wealth of the prince of Tyre. And as you read about it, and it's described in verses 1 through 6, and then in verses 7 through 10, we have the destruction by the Babylonians. Now, the prince foreshadows the Antichrist. And as you look at the characteristics of this prince of Tyre, you will see the same attributes given in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 of the Antichrist. And you will find, too, that he was destroyed by the judgment of God. And so in the coming day, the beast will be destroyed, yes, at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to switch in this here chapter, when you come to verses 11 through 19, there we will read of the, not the prince of Tyre, but the king of Tyre, who is the symbol for Satan. And so I want to read these here verses, starting with verse 11 and reading down through verse 19. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in that day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee in profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." And so we find here in Ezekiel, in this part, we have the king of Tyre described, but he is a symbol of Satan. And you will find that behind him, the motivating force of Satan was at work, and he was emulated in many ways, the king of Tyrus. Thank you, Gerald. Now, Satan was cast out of heaven, and because of his pride, wanting to be higher than God, and I want us to read now in Isaiah 14, just a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to begin with verse 13. I think we'll just start with, well, let me see. We'll read from Isaiah chapter 14 and start with verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the houses of the of his prisoners? Now, here in this here portion that I just read to you, you will notice the five I wills of Satan. There we have it, what he will do, and we have it clearly brought before us that he's going to, yes, I will, in verse 13, I will exalt my throne, I will sit also upon the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And so we find that the five I wills, but Satan was created as an angel. And Satan was created as an angel, and Satan is called the prince of this world today. And you'll notice in Corinthians where it says, In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so we find that Satan, he is wearing these here nine precious stones that are mentioned here in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. And Satan was not created to be wicked. No, he was not created to be wicked, but became proud and fell into sin. Now, angels are a lot like people in that respect, because they have a choice. They can obey or they can disobey. And we find that the angels had that choice. Now, to say that this is like unto Satan, there has been no man except Adam, who was perfect in beauty or full of wisdom, as it says about him in verses 12 and 15. There was no man that was in the Garden of Eden except Adam. There was no man that walked on the Mount of God. And there was no man that could be called the anointed cherub, as we find, or the guard in verse 14 and 16. Now, Satan's chief ambition was to get between God and man. And his operations that he had back there in the very beginning are the same that are going on today. Yes, and to make God's creatures his own willing subjects. That's his whole desire. He wants to make men to fall and follow him. Now, Satan, it's very interesting, he works from without to within. First of all, as he spoke to Eve, he talked about that which was pleasant to the eyes from the outside, and then working to the inside. It's the exact opposite of how God works, who works from the inside, and as a result, when the inside has been touched, then we find that there's a change on the outside. Now, the first effect of the fall, they obtained, Adam and Eve, that which they did not have before, or at least in operation. They had a conscience. They had a knowledge of both good and even, of evil, good and evil. Now, remember that when they sinned, if we were to go back to Genesis, you will find that their eyes were opened, and when their eyes were opened, the first thing they realized is that they were naked. Didn't bother them before that they were naked. No. But now that their eyes were opened, they knew that they were naked. Up until this time, they were covered with light, as we read in Psalms 104 and verse 2. They were covered with light. But when they sinned, they walked out of the light. And so it is, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And also we have that verse in 1 John 1:2, where it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. And so you see, their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, when they knew that they were naked, the first issue that came up was covering. Now, remember that Satan, he was the covering cherub to cover the holiness of God, as we read about in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And I want to say right from the very start that Satan hates covering. He doesn't like covering. He hates it. And he didn't want that job. And because he didn't want the job of covering the holiness of God, we find out that he was cast out of heaven. And so now we find that Adam and Eve realize that they're naked, and they realized that they should probably cover up. Well, Satan helped them in that too, because what did they make? They made aprons of fig leaves. Now, in my understanding of an apron, and any aprons that I have ever seen, all that an apron does is it puts something on you in the front. There's nothing for the back, okay? And so these fig leaves, of course, it wouldn't take long and they would rot, and then you would find that they would, yes, they wouldn't amount to anything there. But these fig leaves are like the good works that we want to do, is the cover up. Now I would like us to turn there for a moment to Genesis chapter 3 and look there. And see these words here in Genesis chapter 3. And I want to read from verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make the wise one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said unto him, Who told you that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And so, you see, the Lord knew that they had taken of that fruit. Now in verse 21, let's read that verse, and it says, Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now what they made for a covering was no good. But, as you know the story, and we haven't time to read the whole thing, that what the Lord God did is he made coats of animal skins, yes, for them. Now, every coat that I know of, it covers the back as well as the front, okay? And the Lord made coats for them. Now, I like that verse over in Isaiah chapter 61, and I'll just turn there quickly, Isaiah 61, and verse 10, where it says this, I will rejoice, and I better find it here. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Yes, he hath clothed us. He has robed us. As you read in the book of Revelation, you'll find that those that come will be wearing white robes as they come out of the tribulation. As we come to the wedding feast, we will be like a bride. Yes, the church, which we are of, the moment we're saved, will be part of the bride and will be clothed. Yes, with garments, as it says there, with righteousness. Yes. Now, to go back to the fig tree for just a minute, it's the only thing that the Lord, when he was here on this earth, cursed. He didn't curse anything else but that, but the fig tree. And you'll remember that story as we've had it before brought to our attention. Now, when they heard the voice of the Lord God, what did they want to do? They hid themselves. It's just like people today. When they hear the voice of the Lord, they want to hide. They don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. And so people still are trying, are very uneasy when they come to hear the word of God. Now, their covering was no good, and so we find that God gave them a covering. Now, I'm going to say that it was because of this here story here that God gave a covering, and if you know anything about me, you know that I'm a great believer of visual aids. And it was this story as a teenager that spoke to me about the importance of visual aids. There couldn't be anything more visual than what God did before Adam and Eve as he killed the animals and the blood was shed so they could be covered with these coats. It's the first gospel message that has been given. And so when that point struck me as a teenager, that's why I got involved in visual aids, because it's the eye gate that is very important. It's as important as what we hear. So I'm thankful for that. Now, all the way through the Old Testament, I want to say that covering is a big topic. And from then on, from Genesis to Malachi, you'll read how they had to kill an animal to have their sins covered. Well, now we don't have to do that because Jesus Christ became our Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He became my Lamb, so therefore, no, I don't have to offer an animal. I, yes, am trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now covering, we can give a few instances of covering in the Old Testament. I want to think first of all of the Kohathites in Numbers chapter 4. If you read that story, you will find that the Kohathites, they were the ones that had to carry the holy vessels that were covered with blue. Well, when you get to Numbers chapter 16, they decided they didn't want that job. They wanted to be like Moses and have like he had that job. Now, you know the story. I don't have to tell you how that because they rebelled against the job that God had given to them, what the earth did was opened up and swallowed them. And there, those Kohathites, they lost their lives because they refused the job of covering. Now, I've often thought of that you see, Satan, he didn't want his job of covering the holiness of God was cast out of heaven. Adam and Eve, because of the covering issue, they were cast out of Eden. The Kohathites, they were cast into the ground, and the earth opened up and swallowed them. And I want to say again for the sisters who don't want to give God the glory, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes if we can get to it, that what do you want to happen? Look what happened to them. Because they refused the job of covering, which is so important in the sight of God. Now, it's very interesting, too. I might say that I and my wife, we, for a number of years, since when we got married, we've had our neighbors come in for a meal at Christmas time. Now, I've always prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity to speak to them. And I never know how the opportunity is coming up, but a few years back, I think about 3 years now, our neighbors, as we were sitting around talking, the one was on a tour in Germany, and he was sitting on a bus, and the man that was next to him, he said, "Are my eyes deceiving me? Or did I just see three women walking in the nude in the street of the city? Not on a beach, in the city." He said, "Yeah, your eyes are deceiving you. There were four." And so this led to a little conversation. And I asked the question, "Do you know why we wear clothes?" Now, it took me a little while to get out of my neighbors why they were wearing clothes. The reason you're wearing clothes is because of sin. That's why you wear clothes, is because sin came into the world and clothes were given to us to wear. Now, Satan knows that very, very strongly, does he know that? And so therefore, that's why he uses the power of suggestion more than the reality. Now, you men know what I'm talking about, and I think most of you women know what I'm talking about. That the power of suggestion is worse than the reality. Now, I have been in countries, like in Africa and so forth, where they didn't wear anything. And, you see, that's different than when you come here and people, yes, they're very suggestive in their dress, and they don't cover properly. Now, I might say also for entertaining, my wife and I have always had the thrill of having the international students who have come. And when they have come to our home, we bring them here Sunday morning to the Lord's Supper and tell them to observe what goes on. When we get home for our meal, there's two questions that always come up. And the one question that comes is, why do the women in your congregation wear those things on their head? Listen, you women, you're speaking a message. You're given a message, a strong message, when you wear the covering. Now, the next question is that they ask is, where does the man stand that tells the men when it's their turn to get up and say something? Yeah, see, they don't understand the working of the Spirit of God. So it always gives me a great privilege to present the Word of God. Now, let's quickly go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I knew this was going to happen. My time goes too fast. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read a few verses here. Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, and it's not as the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now I trust that the Lord will bless that part of the reading. Now there's three things that I want to bring out as fast as I can here. We have the glory of God in verse 7. But then we have the glory of the man. And then in verse 13, or 15 rather, when we read, we have the glory of the woman, or the what the woman has as her glory. And I want to come back to that in just a minute. But then the next thing I want you to notice, you got the head of man is Christ. Now that is mentioned first. And perhaps the Spirit of God gave us that for you women to understand that men have a head over them, and the head of them is Christ. But then you find the head of the woman is the man. But immediately after it talks about the fact that the head of the woman is the man, it talks about the head of Christ, and that is God. Now, I want to say again here that Christ, as you know, who is the Son of God, is equal with God the Father. He's equal. Yes, as we read in the Word of God. However, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Now, how we can praise God. I'm so thankful to say that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to humble himself and recognize the Father as the head. Now, That is so excellent to see. Now, when you come to the fact of the head covering, you'll find that it is a shame for a man to have his head covered. Now, there's enough of you people in this room who can remember 50 years ago, all right, or more, all right? So 50 years ago or more, men, when they came to the door, if they were a salesman and a lady answered the door, the first thing they would do is they would tip their hat. They would not have their head covered if a woman answered the door. If a funeral was going by in the street, men would stand there and they would tip their hat. There was respect. But what has Satan done today? Why, you'll find more men having hats on in public places like restaurants and so forth like that. Not the women, but the men, they wear their baseball caps or whatever, because you see, Satan doesn't like it God's way. And more today, men are wearing their hats. Why, you can even find in some cases where you'll find men who will wear their hat when it comes to the fact of into a meeting. Why, I don't like to see people when they come in. We're not worshiping the building, but when we should have a respect for the building, which is dedicated to God. But you'll find men sometimes coming in and having no idea at all to remove their hat. Now, when you have the argument that some ladies give that the hair is the covering. Now listen, if that was the case, then what would the men have to be? They would have to be bald all the time. They would have to be shaven. Because you see, that's not talking about their hair being their covering. No, we're talking about a covering that you put on and you take off. Now, let me say too that in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40, we won't turn to it, but the turbans that the men wore when they went into the tabernacle or into the temple, into the house of God, they were for beauty and for glory. Now, today, if you was to go over to Jerusalem, you would see men who would still be the priest who would walk into the temple with their bonnets on or their heads covered. Why? Well, it's simple. Because of the fact, you see, the Jews as a nation, they have rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, who is the one that was promised to come. So they wear their hats. Now, today, if we come to this place or any other building where the church, the believers, gather, the glory of God does not appear in this place, okay? The Lord is here in spirit, but not the glory of the Lord. But in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, the glory of God was there, so therefore the men had to have their heads covered, okay? But that's not the case now. We're not living in that age because Christ is our Messiah that was promised. Now, it's a great thing to recognize that before Eve, Adam named all the animals. He had charge over all the garden. And then remember that when the animals came before him and he was to name them, why, he noticed that the plumbing was different in them. Okay? The plumbing system was different. And when he looked it over, he realized there was none that was for him. And so what did God do? God created a woman as he took that rib out of a man. Yes, and woman was formed. And the woman, all right, was for the glory of the man. Now, when you look at the animals, all right, and you've seen many kinds of animals, who has the beauty or the glory? It's the males. They're the ones that have the glory and the beauty. If you look at the birds, if you look at the beast of the field, it's the males that are the best looking. But now when it comes to the woman, look at it. Men, we don't have it, but they do, okay? And we're happy about that situation. It's the women who have got the glory. It's the whole woman, not just part of the woman, but the whole woman is the glory of the man. Now, not only is she a glory, but she has a glory. And the glory that she has is her hair. Now, I've maybe told this story before, but I was visiting a woman that was 89 years of age, and she was sick. She just came out of the hospital. And when I visited her, she said, "Brother Stifler, what did you come today for? My hair looks like I'm 90. Now, I don't know how far she thought 90 was away from 89, but you got it, don't you? There was a woman still fussing about her hair. Now, women today still fuss over their hair. Whether they understand it or not, they know that it's their glory. You get into a car with a woman and you put down all the windows and let the fresh air come in, and you'll find out, "Oh, my hair," you know. So you see, yes, the woman, they know that the hair is their glory. Now, the Word of God makes it very clear that no flesh should glory in His presence. The man that covereth his head, as we read in verse 4, he dishonoreth God. Yes, a man would dishonor God because, you see, he's the image and the glory of God. He's the representative for God. So the man does not have his head covered. But the woman, yes, she would be, if she's not covered, then she dishonoreth, yes, her head. Oh, listen, women, it's an important thing. And it's very obvious that your hair, as I said, is not your covering. And you need to put a covering on when you come into the presence of the Lord. Now, I think it's very interesting, too, when you stop to think of Genesis chapter 24, and I got to quit. But in Genesis chapter 24, you have that picture of the bride for Isaac. Now, most of you who know something about the Bible and the Bible truths know that Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 22, where he was offered, yes, by his father on the altar. His father didn't kill him, of course, because there was a substitute. And so he is a picture of Jesus Christ, the Son. When you get to Genesis chapter 24 and they're going for a bride for Isaac, she comes and she's coming with the servant, and what does she do when she sees Isaac in the field and she asks who that is? And so what she does is she immediately covers herself. She keeps the covering on because she's going to be the bride for Isaac. And when she has that covering on, that covering stays on until he takes her into his mother's tent and knows her, and she becomes his wife. Then the covering comes off. Now, it's the same thing with us as the church. We should recognize our position in the church, that the covering will come on when we become the bride of Christ. Oh, listen, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And for the women as well as the men, yes, we're members of the true church. Now, I didn't get back to the point of the glory of God, but anyways, you can look that up yourself. It's very clear there that it's the glory of God, the glory of man, and the glory of the woman. And there's a lot more that could be said in this chapter on covering. And the other main issue of the thing is that you need to realize that all this time, who's looking on? The angels. Oh, listen. We're speaking volumes to the angels because they see what you are doing. And may it be that each one of us will want to give the honor and the glory that's due unto his name. I'm over again by a couple minutes, but I could have been worse, okay? So we'll just close in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we just bow in your presence, and we thank you for this here subject on covering. And we pray that each one of us, men and women alike, and boys and girls, that we might want to give you the glory. And thank you again for the fact that you humbled yourself and became obedient unto death. And Lord, may it be that we might take a humble position and recognize as men that Christ is our head, and that the women too might recognize what their part in this is, and that they might continue to give out the message as they are obedient and wear their head covering. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we separate. Amen.